Name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. A few years ago, I preached an Advent sermon on the dreams that St. Joseph had about the birth of Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew. And instead of preaching a normal sermon, I decided to write it as though it were entries from St. Joseph's personal journal after he had each of those dreams. So this morning, I thought I'd preach a sequel of sorts, one where we would hear again from St. Joseph, Jesus' earthly father. Of course, Joseph isn't in this morning's gospel reading, and it's quite likely that he's no longer even alive at this point in the story. But for the sake of the sermon, let's assume he is. And let's assume he has heard about what went on in today's gospel passage. And he has decided to write to Jesus to share his thoughts and feelings with his son. So here is that letter. Dear son, your mother and brother and sisters came home today and told me about their visit with you. In truth, I don't know that we can even call it a visit, as you didn't exactly welcome them with open arms, did you? Now, I suspect I know what you meant when you said, "Whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother." I remember that time when you were 12, and we were coming back from Jerusalem, and we couldn't find you, and we had to turn back and found you in the temple. And when your mother and I told you how upset we were, you said, "Didn't you know I would be in my father's house?" Well, I didn't have my feelings hurt one bit, though some priest standing nearby did give me a funny look. So I know you weren't telling your mother and brothers and sisters that you don't care about them, just that what matters most is not biological connections, but a shared commitment to following God. I might also add that a lifetime of mutual affection and support also trumps biology, but that's not surprising coming from me, I suppose. You have to understand that we worry about you. Some in the family, I won't say who because they'd never let me hear the end of it, some think, frankly, that you've gone off the deep end. I'm not saying that I think that, but I have to confess that the parental desire for one's child to take his place in the world in a position of respect is strong. And also, frankly, some stability, and dare I say it, even comfort, wouldn't hurt. My offer stands. If you ever want to revisit carpentry, I'm here for you. No health plan, but the hours are good and people always need tables. I know, I should stop with that. It was clear from the beginning that you were going to do something different. In fact, it was clear from before the beginning. I think what makes it hard is that we never knew there might be a price to be paid for your going your own way. Following where you feel called to go in the depths of your heart is a beautiful thing, but it's not always the safest thing. I know you so well at this point, son, that I can hear you saying, "God does not call us to do the safest thing, but rather he calls us to go where he needs us the most and where we can best use our talents to the service of God's people." You were never at a loss for words. And really, I can't disagree with you. As much as I'd love to have you here by my side building credenzas with me until I retire, I know that's not you. That's not where God has called you. God has called you to something different, something so unprecedented that we don't know where it will lead. And it's just human nature, and definitely parental nature, to want to know where things are leading. But how could you do anything other than what you feel God is calling you to do? How could any of us? We all need to go where the Lord leads us, even if it's into uncharted waters. Lord knows, when I married your mother, that led to the most uncharted of waters. I still haven't been able to chart them. So it hasn't always been easy. Sometimes it's been downright hard to be this family, but it's been wonderful too, much of the time, most of the time. And what's the alternative, really, when you come right down to it? Lead someone else's life, or try to? Now, rereading this letter, I realized I've made 180 degrees here, son. I was planning to write you and ask you to come home and be a little more sensitive to your family's feelings and so forth, but in the end, I suppose I think you're doing exactly what you should be doing. I'll explain it to your mother and siblings. They'll understand, after a while anyway. You have my prayers and my blessing. I know that you are just beginning something incredible that will change the world. Don't let anyone get you down, especially those old men who like to send down judgments from Jerusalem. I know you have God's word in your heart. I know you will teach it, and you will bring healing and salvation to countless people. Thank you for being a blessing to me, too. So, your mother tells me you're going up to the lake next, like we used to do when you were kids. If you go out on a boat, remember to be careful, because the waves can really pick up quickly out there. I suspect you're planning on doing some teaching. If so, feel free to use one of my parables. What's mine is yours. You remember the one about the mustard seed, I hope, and the sower who sows seed on different types of ground? I can write them down for you if that'd be helpful. A father likes to help. Love always.